I have an analogy for that too, probably no surprise. If you went to a play, a Broadway play, and you were watching it for the first time, there's a front stage and there's a backstage, right? There's a lot going on backstage that you don't see. All you see is what's happening in front of the curtain. It's the story. And let me ask you, would you understand that play if you see it, saw it for the first time, with the curtain shut so you're simply watching the story, or with the curtain open so you're not only watching the story, but you're watching all the mechanics going on behind it at the same time? Those mechanics, while they're important, would be distracting to the story. And what I'm telling you is, we're going to get to those. We're going to talk about all of the mechanics, but we don't do it while we're telling the story. Make sense? Okay. Now, the last thing is this. Most of the people pick something in the middle. Sometimes people will pick the middle. Now, remember I told you the first time they apologized for putting in, whatever? The first time they apologized to you for putting in $400 a month. It's just sort of a shock, and they will. They'll go, well, Patrick, I'd love to be able to do this. That's not real possible right now for me. Yeah, even somewhere in the middle would be normal for me, but right now, I don't know if this is even possible. If it's not, I'm sorry, but is it okay? Can I just start at the minimum amount? Is that all right? And you say the same thing that you said, and I forgot one part of that. Same thing to them that you say to the person who picks up in the middle. Absolutely, James. Most of my clients don't start necessarily at the top. But just so you understand, you're not getting a second-rate policy. It's exactly the same policy regardless of the amount that you put in. Now, it's not going to perform as well because we're not putting as much in each year. But each year when we get back together, I'm going to encourage you to put in 50 or 100 bucks a month more until you work your way up all the way to the maximum. How does that sound? Sales back. Okay. You know what's cool about this? When I started in business, my manager, the funnel, gave me bad advice. The other bad advice he gave me was this. Patrick, when you go out on a presentation, bring one term illustration and one permanent illustration and give the client a choice. So it's not a choice of yes or no, it's a choice of either or. Stupid advice. Why? Because what did the client pick every time? Term, most every time. Because why? It's cheaper, right? Because it's cheaper. Think about what we're doing. It's all perspective now. They still, many times, will pick the cheapest thing on the table. It's just that now what the cheapest thing on the table is what used to be my biggest thing. Now, by the way, I meant to tell you, minimum, some companies allow you to do a minimum premium, which is less than target. Get this in your brain. In my world, minimum equals target. So these two numbers are target premium and max non-MEC premium, which we'll talk about after lunch. What do you get paid on?
Target,
right? So really, whether this person chooses the minimum or the maximum, you're making pretty much the same amount, aren't you? You don't care which one they pick. It's about them and what's best for them. And the reason that most people do it backwards is they've been showing people this number, $413 a month will get you this, and that is a boring number. There is no sizzle, there's no pizzazz, there's nothing exciting to that for the client. But if you can show them what's possible, if you can show them what could be, they want this, so now they're going to start at an entry point and try and get as close to that as they can. Let's go back through this real quick before we hit break. I want to highlight a few of these pages. And if we don't get to all of them, we'll come back. I already explained why I did this. The main reason there, front and center life insurance discussion. We're not talking about some call, this is life insurance, okay? When we get to this page, there's a few key things to know. I know some of you noticed this because I heard a chuckle, but I want to point it out. I draw two circles on the page. I say, James, when you retire, all of your money is going to be in one of two pots, either taxable or tax-free. And as sincere as can be, I ask the question, which one of those pots would you like to have the most money in? Why? Why do I ask that sincerely? Because I want him to speak those words out loud. And every time without fail, I've never had anyone say anything but tax-free. So I ask it sincerely, but then I quickly chuckle. I go, Yeah, you know, I've asked that question hundreds of times, James, and I've never had anyone say anything other than that because it's almost a rhetorical question. Duh. If you could, you know, have tax-free versus taxable, that's a better deal every time. Why is that such an important question? Because if he's a high-income earner, what has he told me? He wants money in that bucket, right? But if he's a high-income earner, there's only one place he can get that money in that bucket, and that's life insurance. And I believe it begins to elevate the significance of life insurance in his mind as not being, oh, insurance is a bad investment. There's something more to it here. He doesn't know the story yet, but it begins to plant that seed. And because for a high-income earner, folks, it's the only thing they can use. They would have to go back later and say, yeah, I guess I lied to you. I really want most of it in the taxable part. That would be the only reason they wouldn't buy the life insurance program. Because make no mistake about it, high income earners, though they changed the law that people can roll their tax qualified plans over to a Roth IRA, IRA to a Roth IRA with no penalty as a rollover, regardless of income. Stuff paid tax on it, but no income limitation. There is still an income limitation for new contributions. So James doesn't have any other option. So if he says tax-free, and I now show him it's the only place, that does a whole lot for our presentation going down. So that's one thing to notice. The other thing, by the way, if you will have conversations with people that make less than 100 or 150, whatever the case is, and are eligible to contribute to a Roth IRA, here's the only way you change it. I tend to cross this off for everybody, blah, 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 for the same reasons. So James, in your particular case, you can utilize both the Roth IRA and life insurance, and they're both really good options. Okay? That's how you do it if someone was earning, say, $70,000 a year. I'm not going to tell them which one's better, or they can make that decision. I'm going to give them a pretty good, you know, look at why this is a pretty good deal, and we can talk about some of those things when we come back after lunch. So two circles, ask the question sincerely. Which would you like to have the most money in? The other thing is this. I spent 20 or 30 minutes with you guys yesterday just painting this bleak picture of the economy. Fitz was ready to jump off the tallest building in Burlington, which is all three stories, I think, right? Sorry, just kidding. All right, gotta go easy here. I'm on hollow ground. Anyway, I painted a bleak picture. I don't scare the client. Right? I'm not trying to scare them into buying something. So all I do, simply, is ask them, so James, what do you think? I like to get your, do you think in the future tax rates are going to be higher or lower than they are today? Folks, I'm telling you, I've never had anyone say that. I've had a few people say, I don't know, which is fair, but most everyone intuitively understands that tax rates are going to be higher in the future. That's the only thing I do at that point. And I say, well, yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think there's a lot of things at play there, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So those are the significant points of that. And then I say, do you remember that book? Now, there's two ways to do it. If you've given them my book, and if they, whether they've read it or not, you would say it the way I said it to Andy. You say, Andy, I keep wanting to call it. Sorry about that, James. I'd say, remember that, I don't really make you answer. I say, remember that book I gave you, Tax Free Retirement? In there, that guy talked about this thing called the Smart Money Order. We'll just call it Smart Money List for short. That's how you introduce. Now, if I haven't given them a book, if this is just brand new, I simply introduce it this way. You know, James, I read a book a couple months ago where this guy talked about this thing that he called the Smart Money List. And then you just explain it. So either you say you read it or do you remember it in there? Why is this here? This is here for a couple reasons. The people that come up with the idea of, you know, I can take that money that I'm putting in my 401k above the match amount. This is where you've planted the seed for that. By the way, I don't tell them to stop funding the 401k. Let me explain to you how I say it again. We go through this and I have him buy in two different ways. First I say, we'll come back and talk about this one. But if you can get a tax-free return, number two, that's better than number three, just tax-deferred, right? He says yes every time. And number three, tax-deferred is still better than taxable, right? Yes. And then you do a global buy-in. So this list that this guy's talking about, this list makes sense to you.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
You've got to get their buy-in. Because if they buy in, they're saying tax-free is better than tax-deferred. But here's the problem. Their 401k, if it does have a match, is 1 in 3. It doesn't incorporate any of number two. But they just told you number two is better than number three. Right? So you say this. I don't tell them to stop funding. I just say, James, if let's go back and we talked about free money. Where can you get a gift or inheritance or a match? Now, I don't know if he has a 401k. I don't know if he has any match. I say the same thing to every person. Remember, I said there's two places that I say it the way that I do because I want to let them know that I'm not going for all the money. This is one of those places. So I say, James, if you have a 401k that has a matching provision, I want you to take full advantage of that because it's free money right from day one. You can't beat that. Now, I don't tell them to stop it. Here's what I say. But James, what you have to recognize is the day you contribute a dollar above that match amount, you go from number one, free money, to number three, tax-deferred money, and you skip over number two altogether. And if we talk about number two potentially being better than number three, let's take a look at that in a little more detail. And this, folks, in my opinion, is where the light bulbs start to come on for the client. Because they know they put their money into their 401k or IRA if they're using it without taxation. But they don't really know what the ramifications are for that. And I ask this as a question. I say, now, is this money that goes in here like your 401k? And by the way, I'm talking strategy to strategy. Tax deferred versus tax free. Not product to product. Strategy versus strategy. Is the money that goes in here, has it been taxed before it goes in? And most people know, no, it hasn't been taxed. You're right. It hasn't been taxed when it went in, Jane, but when you take it out, all of it, 100%, both the contribution and the gain, when you take it out, it's going to be taxed as income, all of it, at the tax rates that are in place at the time of the withdrawal. Now, he's already told me that he thinks they're going to be higher in the future, right? So I said, at the time of the withdrawal. But let's go and take a look over here. The money that you put into this strategy, because it has both the Roth IRA and life insurance, right? The money that you put into this strategy has gone in taxed, meaning you've earned it your paycheck, you've paid tax on it, and with what's left over, you've contributed. But because you put it in after tax, James, when you take it out, all of it, both the contribution and the gain, you're able to access it without paying any tax if you do it properly. And this is a question that the light bulb starts to go. And most of the time, he answered, most of the time they don't answer. They just sit there quietly, and that's fine. I'll do the same thing. I don't say anything back, whether he answers or not. I'll say, so James, what all you need to decide really is for yourself, would you rather pay tax on this, or would you rather pay tax on that? Say, just like that. So James, what you need to decide for yourself is, would you rather pay tax on that, or would you rather pay tax on that? And regardless of his answer, I simply say, so if he says this, that right one, or if he says nothing, I say, well, I just pause for a minute. Well, let's take a look at the type of life insurance that allows this type of benefit to be possible. Step out of the way. And you can tell it was not an art major in college. So here you are, contributing money. We go through this whole scenario. Small box, big box, it's conceptual. Minimum, what is minimum equal?
Target.
Maximum is one of two numbers. Turn back to page 8. On the illustration, it depends company, it depends product, okay? So this is, you're going to have to look here. The two numbers you're going to look at is the guideline level annual premium and the 7-pay premium. See the 7-pays is $22,961. The guideline annual is $26,070. Whichever of those is less, you pick that for your annual or monthly contribution, okay? Whichever of those is less, either the lesser of the 7-pay or the lesser of the guideline annual premium. That's the maximum amount that you can put in simplistic terms, without taking away the tax advantages that we are able to provide to the customer. That is in layman's terms. Yep?
Now I have three questions.
Okay.
Number one, does this work equally as well if you use a rated policy?
Yes. That is a simple answer. And here's why. With a rated policy, the cost of insurance, because we're not talking about the overfunding of the target, right? A beyond target. Once a person pays the target amount, whether it's rated tobacco or rated table four or not rated two, guess what? They're not going to pay any more for that. I mean, they're paying the same for that insurance whether they overfund it or not. So the overfunding portion is still going to the cash value on a rated policy. And here's the cool thing. A rated policy, many times, they get the opportunity to put more in than someone that's not rated. So the simple answer is yes.
Second question is, you illustrated this at 7.75, and the illustration in software is usually 8.75.
Okay. That goes back to, and we're going to talk about this back when we come back for lunch. We're going to go, that's when we're going to get into details. So right now the client, we haven't gotten the details of that, but I'll give you the overall summary. My philosophy for selling is I would much rather under-promise and attempt to over-deliver than, matter of fact, I could have shown you this same illustration and showed you $250,000 a year coming out of it. Same age, same amount of death benefit, maybe a little more contribution, but not much. I run my illustrations conservatively in three ways, and this is what we're going to dig into after lunch. One is, what age, I said it about four times to the client, what age do I run the income to? 120. How many of my clients do I think are going to live to 120? Hardly any. Yeah, probably not. Okay. Number one, that, because if you run the illustration out to 120, then, you know, you could, if you only ran it to 100, you could show more income. But I want to show less. The second thing is, the number one factor that makes it more conservative is I use the fixed loan, not the variable loan. We're going to talk about that at length after lunch. That makes about 30% difference in income projection. Mine's 30% less. Then the other thing I do is I always take the historical numbers and dial it down by about a point or a point and a half. Why do I do all that? First of all, did you hear what these numbers are? You show this to a client, their eyes are already coming out of their head. You just showed me how to take $600,000 and turn it into $6 million tax-free. How much sizzle does a steak really need? You know, it's already unbelievable. If I make it too unbelievable, they'll just, matter of fact, you'll have less sales by making it too unrealistic. Because it's already too good to be true. But how cool is it? You show them $135,000, they might be able to take out $200,000. Wouldn't that be a great position? Versus showing them $250,000 and having them then be stuck at $200,000. Because if you show them $250,000, there's only one thing they're going to remember on that illustration. $250,000. Even if you tell them this isn't guaranteed. So, third question.
Are you going to talk about the single premium after lunch?
I am now. I am now. I will talk about the single premium. If you remind me on that, let's talk about that after lunch. Yes, you bet. Put it right up so I can hear everyone.
Sure, a lot of people have 56 years, 60 years old, whole life policy, with about $30,000 cash or whatever that cash value is, and they're converting that into a paid-up insurance. So what if they had, what would it look like if they did a first-year lump sum payment into this type of model and then had, you know, lower premiums?
You could definitely do that. But I'm going to talk about that answer from a more global perspective, and that is this. From a general practice for me, I try to almost never replace policies. If they have a whole life policy with $30,000 in cash in it, you may want to freeze that up, pay out, use some dividends to come off that to help fund this, but if you replace that insurance, you're probably not doing them a service. I generally didn't replace. Now, you'll find some old ULs that are in the process of imploding. And if a UL is in the process of imploding, there's no problem replacing that one because they're going to have to put the same amount in that old one as they would the new one because those internally those rates are going up every year. So the simple answer is, I'd tread on very thin ice and be very certain that it was the best thing for the client if you went into replacement because most of the time it's not. Yeah.
Patrick, is there ever a scenario like he can only afford $400 right now? Do you reduce the face amount so he can overfund it at that point, or would you just kind of keep it at the same level?
Someone always asks that question, and I wait for it. If not, I bring it up. Thank you. But I'm going to hold you off the top of the line. No. So just so everyone understands the question, here is what he was asking. Remember, what we're showing is the most efficient use of the contract. Matter of fact, I heard one person say one time that MEC, which stands for Modified Endowment Contract, but they said MEC stands for Most Efficient Contract. Okay? And so that's really true. The closer you can get to MEC, the more efficient the contract works. But what he's saying is, if we're trying to make this cash value the most efficient possible, then we want to minimize the death benefit and maximize the contribution, right? Get those as close together. So if he can only put in $400 a month, and that's what about, let's just say 25% of the total, roughly, would you take, what's 25% of that? It would be $350, $175. What he's saying is, would you reduce that $700 to $175, because now that $413 is maxed out and the cash will grow most effectively? And there are two answers to that. Actually, there's one. The answer is maybe. There's not a yes or no. It's real important you understand. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But if you do, there's something you have to take into account. And that is, we base this amount of life insurance off of what?
Income.
Well, it's income, but it's really ultimately based on need. So if you dial down the UL to 175, let's just say 200 to keep it simple, what else do you need to do?
Term policy.
Write a $500,000 term policy. I mean, it sort of sucks to get two policies in one, but you know, it's a humor. Anyway, so yes, if you do that, you can do it. But remember, he has a $700,000 need. You don't want to overlook the need, and so you would want to write an additional term policy to make sure he still... So that would be one way to go. But I'll tell you, for the right client, most of the time I did not do that. And I am going to put this out there. When we get to the marketing piece, the second marketing idea that I have for you, you're going to see why not lowering that death benefit could be one of the greatest gifts that you give to an individual down the road in the right circumstances. Okay?
Is there any reason that you have not addressed the death benefit at all, or do you just want them to take you back to that? Because you haven't emphasized if you don't make it through this at age 84, your family is still going to get the money for it.
I will go back. I mean, I don't know that I, at this point, remember, it's all story. There's a whole third part of the presentation that I'm going to talk to the client about that we're going to have to save till after lunch. And that's where I get into those sorts of details. But one thing you'll notice, I use option B, which is increasing death benefit. And this sort of answers your question. One of the things I'll say to the client is I'll say, you know what's great about this policy if you look at it? See how this death benefit starts at $700 and continues to go up every year? Because what it is, it's a $700,000 death benefit plus your cash value. The great thing about this policy, James, is that whether you live or whether you die, someone's always going to get your cash. That's how I say it. The great thing about this policy, James, is whether you live or whether you die, someone's always going to get your cash. What time is it? Ha! 4 minutes over. I love it. 5 minutes over! I've never had... That is like the buzzer, right? That's like the gong show. This is the gong hit 5 minutes ago and I didn't hear it. So, we're 5 minutes over. It means we're coming back after lunch. Andy, I'm going to turn over to you to give some instructions from there.
Well, so we need to get you, so like, Kelly, get him for lunch. And you're going to join Dan and I, whoever else you want to pick, sit there. We'll get you there because we're going to eat.
12:29, we've got a management call. We'll go to a conference call live. Y'all will be watching it. It'll only be a conference call. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to do the nationwide call on the video. And I want Russell, Joyce, who else was it that sold? Anybody sold recent Index Universal Life recently? Babies had 6 years ago. Anybody more recently? And I'll pick out a couple other people. Have your mind right. Thought about what we'll have you on the studio when we do this live broadcast. All right, lunch is served. Y'all know where it is.
Get a good sleep.
It reminds me of that time me and Mark Womack found all them golf balls over there in the woods. We just didn't have enough pockets to carry them all. You know what I'm saying? Just grabbing them. You know, you ever been in a situation like that? That's why I don't eat at buffets if I can help it. Tonight, it's going to mess y'all up. I'm going to tell you. If you guys are like me, it's going to mess you up. That's the best pizza in the world. It's going to blow your mind. I'm telling you what. And I ain't kidding. I'm not nervous. About when Fitz and Art were talking, I just got nervous thinking what we've got in front of us. And see, here's the thing, and I'll say this, Gerald, do you understand? I mean, it's hard to grasp. I took like $9,000 cash to Vegas just to play around with. And cash, you know what I'm saying? Like, just matter of fact, I just said, Missy, make sure you get me about, I don't like to pick up 10 because that throws the IRS. I said, give me about 8 or 9,000. They usually get me 8 or 9, I don't know which it is, 8 or 9,000. You know, do you understand that Art, and do you understand Fitz just bought a 47 square foot house, one level? Is that right, Fitz? Is it 4,700 square foot? Is somebody on the website pulling up any leads? Just make sure that y'all are on it. Tell me. 4,200 square foot house, one level. Had it completely decorated. Painted. Do you know how hard it is for him to get motivated to go from making, let's just be conservative, make it from 1.75 million to go to making 4 million or 5 million? Do you understand he has to sit there and do, you know what I mean? Val, you understand what I'm saying? But we know that the deal is better than it's ever been. That's the only reason I ain't saying he's coming out of retirement. I'm coming out of retirement. But I'm just saying, dude, do you understand that it's so bad or it's so good, however you want to look at it, that we're hiring staff, giving them good jobs, good benefits to build it? Can you imagine? That's what I'm saying, Chad and Melanie. You'll see one day. You start making $700,000-$800,000 a year, and then something comes along, and it's the greatest thing in the world. You're just gonna be like, you know, it has to be big to get you excited like that. So we're starting to talk about things like more money ministry. I'll be honest. I mean, I'm driving a car that's like 4 or 5 years old. I'm thinking, you know what? But I don't want a car unless it's 150,000. I mean, you know what I mean? The next one I want is 150. You know what I mean? But I can't stand making payments.
Right.
Does that make sense? I mean, I'm just telling you that you guys, and I wish I was still on the video, these guys, so I'm just begging. And I hope you're talking to them like this, Avian. This now is the time. I mean, you should take, forget talking to y'all. Revis, hire more people. You know what I mean?
Well, let me tell you, you have a group that's direct, right?
Yeah, we paid 110 applications.
So let me say this. If you guys don't do it out there, he's going to take them.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm doing my best.
So go get him before he gets
there. I'm going to show you this. Show on our website. Can you show on the website, Bill? Who's running it? Just on my holler out. Billy, can you go down to our leads, the Oasis, or Instant Purchase? Go to Instant Purchase. This is any manager in the country. Can you click on here? And this will give you, that's a map of all our leads in the country. And so, you can hover over. you can hover over it, and that tells you how many leads are in the area. In this case, is this a lead? Is this on my laptop? Can he look at it up here while y'all are looking at it? I don't know if it'll pop up. Maybe not. So on each one, you can pop over. And then these little drop-downs, this is anonymous A leads. So this is, hold on, Bill, let me see what's under that. Move that. Okay, what does that say? 4,000, can't read it, 4,941 A leads. And then the yellow is not as many, the light green, the dark green, where all the leads are. So click on California, Bill. So you can click on California, and that gives you the county breakdown. Scroll down where you can see the instant purchase. Scroll down a little bit so you can see. See, these are all the leads, and all you do is click on it, and the diagram and the lead is instantly there. So there's no emailing to you.
Turn key.
And it's the prices are over there. And then scroll back up.
What do you think? Am I on? It doesn't sound like I'm on.
Yeah, you are.
What do you, like, for a regular A-League, what's the cost?
At a 55 contract, it might be $26 or $24. I don't know the exact price. And a 110, it's like $46.
Well, let's start at the 60. But that's where you're bringing people in. I'm sort of numbers here.
Does anybody know what it is?
25.
Let's say 25. Let me tell you something better than that. Hold on a minute. Click on RW leads. RW leads are leads that have been a year old. Nobody sold anything off of them. Okay? You can get these leads for $5 a piece. So if you invest $300, that gives you 60 leads. 60 leads. And we're moving only 40 annuities a week, no indexed UL. You tracking with me?
I'm totally tracking.
So we're selling 5,000 A leads, another 4,000 multi A leads. So about 9,000 leads a week are being sold, and we're only selling 40 annuities. And none of these policies you're talking about. This is going to throw up. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. This is making me way funny. Look, can I do a little math here with you for a sec? This is what you, sorry, I'm just sort of, I'm not pushing you off the stick, but.
$300 gets you.
I'm going to do this first. This is what popped into my mind here. I don't sound, I guess I am. It just doesn't. Okay, I'll move it up a little. Can you turn my volume up just a tad there? So here's the deal. I want average from the group. For an A lead, how many of those, honestly, will a new recruit close, if you're helping?
We don't give new recruits A leads. Because we'd rather give them 60. $5 until you find out if they have a personality.
I'm learning the system. It's okay for you and managers. How many are you going to close?
Oh, my gosh. That's a good question.
Give me the number. Honestly, across the board. Out of 10, how many are you going to close?
Six or seven.
Is that a good number?
Yeah.
So let's do 6.5. We'll do 6.5. I'll hold the wrong number here. 6 to 7, 6.5. You paid how much for that lead?
Manager.
Amanda, what are you paying? A leads. You know? A leads.
35.
Okay. So you spent for 10 leads times 35, you spent $350. Okay? You're going to close 6.5 of them. Someone get their calculator out ready for me. We've got it over here if we need to. The average premium is $995, right?
Right.
Do $995 times 6.5. Say it loud.
6,467.
6,467? Okay. Times, I'm just going to use 60%. I don't know what your contract level is. I say, do times 60%.
3,880.
Wait a second. You spent 350. You're, by the numbers, on a bad week, and I should say average week, you're going to make 30. Do you realize, folks, that is 1,000% return on your money.
That's 1,000% return on your money.
That's assuming no referrals.
That's right. That's just, and that's assuming selling
no other RX card.
That's saying like selling no other product, like maybe one out of those 10, you might sell a $25,000. This is basic level stuff. Folks, that's printing money. Why are there 5,000 leads sitting in there? That's print money. I'll tell you what, why don't you take some of your new people along with you and show them, you should not go on an appointment by yourself without having one of your people watch you do it. Right? I mean, they don't need to say anything, just have them watch you do it. There's no better way than displaying that. And
here's what we know. We know, and Paul was one that helped us determine this. Paul, if you're running 10 A leads, or that's really the way he does it, 10 appointments. If you go in 10 houses, how many people have money?
Two.
What kind of money do they have? How much?
$40,000 average.
Average $40,000. Every 2 out of 10 houses are going to have $40,000. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but that's been his number. And it doesn't matter where you're he's like wherever he's at.
It's a numbers. It's a
now,
number.
This is a ladder, guys, that we're talking about here. What we're talking about right here is the first few rungs on the ladder. It's a need, it's immediate, it's food on the table, it's taking care of their immediate need. Do you get to know those people in that process a little bit? You know whether it's a $500,000 home or a $100,000 home. Guess what? One easy way for you maybe to leave a book. Maybe you go there, I might even tell you, don't change your sale at all. Don't even try and muddy the waters this first time. I can tell you a quick story, then we got to get back into it so I finish up.
If they have money.
That's right.
If they have money.
That's right.
The trick for our changing is we find out if they have anything.
Yep.
I mean, I'm asking.
Yep.
Because if they don't, we don't need to leave.
Let me tell a couple of stories. Just so you know, in fairness, I have a hard stop at 3:30. I'm not sure how I'm getting back to the airport, but I know somehow.
We got you right. And so, you know what? Your flight's at 6?
Yeah.
6:30.
6:30?
Okay.
Dude, if you need to be somewhere, but I promise you leave at 4 o'clock, you ain't even.
Okay. Then we're good. Okay. I just want to make just because I do have. Anyway,
can we stop at 3:30 and let's sign books? Is that.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd actually like to be about 3:45. So let's do it.
Okay,
stop at 3:30. I just want to make sure we get it all in because there's a lot left to go. But I want to tell you a story. And I'm trying to think which story it was now.
Well, I was saying you should leave the book in every place. Somebody left them in every house, and then they found it when they didn't expect to find the problem.
Yeah, I kind of had one story in mind, but that's all right. We'll come back. So like I said, if we give you 10 seconds, and this Swiss cheese of a brain will plug the hole up and figure out what it is. By the way, I want to tell you, Andy, that this young man, Chris, right here, one of the nicest hosts I've ever met. He has taken really good care of me. So. Dang, it was a good one too. Alright. Okay, well let's do this. I will come up with that in a little bit, but back to this, folks. You're getting to know the people, okay? I remember that. I just jabber a little bit. The story, come on. Here's the story. I was speaking at a President's Club event for a pretty major life company. And they did these one-hour breakouts. And it was after a keynote address, not by me, but by someone else. And I got to the room a little early, and there were two guys who were sitting in the room early because they didn't go to the keynote deal. And one guy was sitting there. He picks up his phone, and he gets a message, and he goes, "You're not going to believe this. You got to come listen to this message." And this message, I mean, he's talking about timing. This message, thank you very much. He told me the story, and I'll tell you the story first and then tell you what the message said later. Actually, no, let me do it reverse. Let me tell you what the message said, then I'll tell you the story. And I don't remember anyone's names in this because it was about 2 years ago. We'll just call them John and Steve. John is the agent, Steve is the client. And Steve leaves a message for John on his cell phone. Then he picks up 5 minutes before I do this little breakout session. And he says, "Hey, John, I'm out here in Colorado. They're from back east. I'm out here in Colorado. Matter of fact, I think you're out in Colorado too. That's where this meeting was. I got to tell you, I read that book you gave me on the plane, and you're right. Though I didn't have any idea that that even existed. You remember that $2 million term policy that we sent in? Would you do me a favor, and would you hold on to that and not send it in yet? Because I think I want to do a $2 million universal life instead. That was the message that he got right there as I was about. And here's the story. This guy was across the hall. He was a president of a, you know, sort of closely held company. And he had taught, he knew that the guy across the street, John, his friend, I suppose, was in the life insurance business. So he said, hey, you know what? I need some life insurance. Pretty sharp guy. I mean, the fact that he knows that he needs it, he was willing to take care of it. And so John sat down with Steve and talked about what your needs analysis and all that. And he tried to talk to him about permanent insurance, about universal life insurance. And Steve was like, you know what? No way. I have no interest. All I want is term. And so John, being the smart salesman that he was, what did he do? Sold him term. And then, which was the right thing to do, by the way, don't talk someone into something that they're not ready for. But here's what he did. He said, you know what? Hey, I'm good. And just so you know, I like term insurance. I like whole life insurance. I like you. Whatever's the right fit for the client. But he sold him term, and I sell term. And he said, hey, you know what? I just read this book that talks about some things, sort of a game changer, talks about some things that you may not have heard before. Can I leave this with you? Would you be willing to read a chapter or two if I did so? And he goes, well, as a matter of fact, I'm going out to this meeting in Colorado. I'll bring you on the plane with me. So I guess here's the deal, folks, that he collected a couple $1,000 in term premium. And that was his sale. He went out for that. He did exactly what the client wanted and needed. But just by leaving that, the client themselves determined and decided that they wanted. And this is a guy who's had absolutely don't talk to me about it. He didn't know the story. And so back to Andy's question, deciding whether they have money, I would say is don't be overly selective. You don't know what someone has, what inheritance they got. Matter of fact, I got another story that just popped to mind. I'll make this quick so we can get back to the meat of the material. One agent in Detroit, he had just moved to a new office. And in the new office, he had one of my books sitting on his desk. And there was the janitor that came around and, you know, changed the light bulb and emptied the trash and everything every day. And one day, he caught this guy, I think his name was Mark. He caught Mark and he said, you know, I saw that book sitting on your desk, Tax-Free Retirement. It sort of seems like something I might be interested in. Do you mind if I borrow that from you? And Mark's thinking, this dude's a janitor, you know, there's no way. I mean, but he says, yeah, it's a few bucks. So he just gave him the book. He said, you know, be my guest. I've got a few copies of it. Go ahead and take that. That's all he did. He never expected, you know, the guy's in his jumpsuit with paint on it. A week later, the guy comes back and goes, you know, I read that book, and I think we might need to get together. And so Mark, you know, not prejudging the deal, he says, well, tell me your story. Here's the story. I mean, actually, if you could see, I have goosebumps right now because of how amazing the story is. He said, well, I used to be, or I am, an MD. I'm a physician. But I sold my practice 3 years ago to take care of my father who had Alzheimer's. And this was, I just needed something to do during the day to get my mind off it, so I did the most menial thing I could do. But not only do I have a pretty good chunk of change from selling the medical practice, but my father just passed away, and he left me a $5 million inheritance. And the things that I'm reading about here seem like it might be a possible fit. Now, would you have given a book to the janitor?
Yes.
Most people wouldn't have. So I'm not saying give it out willingly, but you know what? It would be better to spend, if it's a lead, think of it this way. If I'm charging, we'll just use round numbers. If it's 10 bucks, this isn't the book, by the way, but I'm holding this one. This is the second best book in the world, right? Where is he? He didn't hear me say that. Oh, good. Okay. No, mine's the second best book. Mine's the third best book in the world. Andy's the second, and then there's one above that.
Oh, yeah.
I put you just below the Bible, dude. Let's say you spend 10 bucks on it, which you're not going to need to, but let's just say you did, and you bought 10 of them. The same math that you're doing over here, let's do it for this for a second. That's 1,000% return on your money. That's print money, right? Let's say you spend 10 bucks, or 10 bucks for 10 bucks equals $100. Spend $100, you give out all 10 of them. Five of them, nothing happens. The other five, four of the five, let's say, they don't take any action. One book does it, but what was the average premium? Let's figure out. I'm telling you, it's about 15, 20, 25,000. So let's dial it down half. Let's say it's 10,000. So you make $10,000. Now this is so under the average. I'm trying to really, again, under promise to over deliver here. But let's just look at the low ball numbers. You do $10,000 in target premium in 10 books. Times 60%, that's $6,000 in commissions, and you spent $100. The other one, which is like printing money, and you keep doing that because that's day in, day out, solid. You know, this you can go for a couple weeks, not make money, might go a couple weeks, make two or three. It's not the consistency that the other one's going to be, it's more seed planting, more time, okay? But the other one was 1,000% return on investment. This is a 60,000% return on investment. So,
wow.
So, I'm just telling you guys that the same thing holds true in both cases. That as you get in to meet with your term clients and do what you're doing right now, you can tell the minute you walk through the front door whether they have money or not, right? I mean, you know, you may not know what they actually have in the bank, but you know if they're a high income earner or not. You're not looking at what they have saved as much as what they're earning, whether they have other options available. And you just decide, say, you know what? Let me go grab something in my car. I just, as we've gotten to talk here a little bit tonight, I'm glad we took care of this, but I just want to leave something with you because there may be an additional idea that could change the playing field for you. And I'm just gonna leave something with you as a gift for you to read. You see, you're not selling anything at that point. They're gonna self-select themselves. Okay, let's get back to the illustration. We're gonna come back to this in a second, but I think I just want to follow up right where we left off. Look at these guys keeping me supplied in liquids here. All right. Three things I want to talk about. We alluded to them previously. Now, what have we done? Five steps, simple diagrams written on a piece of white paper. We went through the illustration in a story form. Then we asked them to figure out, you know, how much they wanted to put in. And basically, we've now got an illustration printed in the front of them. And let me remind you, if they pick the number, what have they done? They bought. The sale is done. Okay? But it's not over. Does that make sense? It can be done, but not over. Or maybe the other. It can be over, but not done. However you want to say it, you know what I'm talking about. Because now that they have this in front of them, there are three, there's more than three, but I'm going to focus on three key things that now is when we pull the curtain back on the stage and say, you know what, I want to go back and revisit some of those things that we talked about so you really understand how this works. And I'll tell you what, I want you guys, if you really understand as the agent how the money comes out tax-free, it is a life-changing experience, okay? So here, remember I said to the client going through, I haven't given them any detail, we asked the computer to solve how much you could take out, blah, blah, blah. So I'll come back to that first. I'll say, James, you remember when we went through this, I just sort of kept it simple and I told you, I asked the computer to solve for me how much you could get out of this policy, and I did it all the way to age 120, and the reason I did it to age 120 is because I wanted to be conservative. But I want to explain to you, James, how this money comes out. I'll tell you why I want you to know this. Because if something happens to me, if you find yourself needing a new agent, I want to make sure you understand it because they may not. So here's what happened. Remember, James, by the way, there was an error. There was a glaring error. It was my math error on the fly. I kept saying $6 million.
Five.
If I didn't wrap it, it's 5 million. So my great apologies. 600,000 turns into 5 million. Oh, that makes it just suck now, doesn't it?
All right. So there's a few things that might come back to it.
That was my error. Just dumb math, okay? So your $600,000 that you put in. Now let me ask you a question, James. Have you not seen that I sort of like analogies? Everything needs to be in an analogy. If people can get a picture and see a story, they get it. So here's another analogy. I'll say, remember, James, when we talked about you being able to get out $135,000 every year all the way to age 120 out of your life insurance product tax-free. I want to explain to you how that's possible, so that you understand it better than most of the people out there. So if you ever need a director, you understand. So here's how it happened. Remember, over that 30 years, you put in $600,000. Well, remember, that $600,000 that you put in, you've already paid tax on that, right?
Sir.
So one of the things that you need to understand with this policy is that you can always take back out an amount up to the total amount that you've put in tax-free as a withdrawal. You just take it back out as a withdrawal. Because the first money to come out of a life insurance policy is the first money you put in. It's your premium amount that's already been taxed. So it's simply a return of money you've already paid tax on. But the problem is, after 4.5 years, we reach that threshold where we've now given you back, let's just say 5 years to keep it simple. In 5 years, we've given you back your full $600,000. So what do you do in year six? How are you able to get that? And here's where I drop a bomb on, folks. I'll say, I want to be clear with you on this, James. There is no way for you to get that money out of your life insurance product without paying tax on it. That's a true statement. There is no way for you to get that money out of your life insurance policy without paying tax on it. You say, what? But you've been telling... Let me explain something to you. Because here's the reality, James. A life insurance policy is not a tax-free product. It's a tax-deferred product. But, there's always a but. This is a good one. Life insurance companies figured out a way for you to be able to access money, an equivalent of this amount, tax-free, and using this as collateral. So let me explain here. If you were to go buy a new car, and you went to purchase, and you got a loan for this car, bank or credit union, the car is taxed, right? The car has sales tax on it when you purchase it. But does the loan that you get from the bank, is the loan taxed?
No, not at all.
Right. Because loans aren't taxed, are they? They're just a loan from a financial institution. So here's, James, how this all works. The first 5 years, we're simply giving you back money that you've already paid tax on, so it's a return of your premium. But in year six, if you were to take another $135,000 out of that, you would have to pay tax on that. So what happens is, you don't take it out of your policy, and this is why it all works. Is you go to the life insurance company and you say, you know what, I'd like another $135,000 in year six. And they say, you know what, here's what we're going to do, James. We're going to give you that $135,000, but we're not going to do it as a withdrawal from your policy. We're going to give it to you as a loan from our financial institution. And we're going to charge you 6%. You don't need to sign anything. You don't need to fill out any application. It's automatic because why? Why are they willing to give you that loan? Because you have so much money in your life insurance policy that what they do is that sixth year that you take $135,000 out of your or as a loan, and don't get nervous about the word loan yet, James, because I think you'll see why. They take $135,000 out of your cash value. They park it in a separate account. But here's the cool part. They're charging you 6% on that loan. They're taking the same amount out of for collateral, and after 10 years in most companies, they're going to pay you, contractually guaranteed, they're going to pay you the same rate of interest that they're charging you. So now let's put this all together. You're Why is the money tax-free? Because it's not coming from your policy. It's a loan from a financial institution, and loans aren't taxed, are they? A loan for your home wasn't, a loan for your car isn't. The item's taxed, the loans aren't. So it's tax-free because it's coming from a loan, and it's interest-free because you're getting paid the same amount as you're being charged. It's called a wash loan is what people often refer to it as. So because it's not coming from your policy, and because of the way the whole structure is set up, you're able to get a tax-free, interest-free loan without any intention to ever pay it back. And let's go to age 85. Let's go to page 10 again. And at age 85, do you see in the upper right-hand corner here, James, where it says net death benefit? Do you know why it says net death benefit? That means net after the loan is paid off. That's what's still left over for your heirs or whoever you choose to designate it to. So you've been able to capture interest-free, tax-free money during your entire lifetime. And then when you die, that loan, here's what makes it all work, is the death benefit. Because death benefit pays income tax-free. So you're paying off this tax-free, interest-free loan with tax-free death benefit. And whatever's left over after the loan is paid off, which is that column, and that death benefit gets paid to your beneficiaries income tax-free. Does that help make sense a little bit of how this works?
Absolutely.
That's what I'd say to the client. Folks, do you get it now a little bit better than before why it all works? The key to understand is it's not coming from the policy. That's now if you start looking about why the IRS might not be able to have such a big, you know, they've wanted to do this for years. They haven't been able to. Why? You can't put a tax on loans. The only thing they've tried to change, because they know they could never tax the income coming out because it's just a loan, is they've tried to tax internal buildup of the cash value. We don't have time today, I don't think, but I can give you a list of 10 reasons of even if that tax law changed, why this is still such a unique and perfect product for our clients. The number one crown jewel is, I'll tell you why. Because money in their 401k, when the market has a 52% decline, what happens to that? 52% decline. If the market has a 52% decline in this, what happens?
Recess.
Nothing. The other thing is, when they make their first premium payment of $413 into this, and they die that first month from an accident, how much do their beneficiaries get?
$700.
It's a self-completing plan. $700,000. They put $413 in their 401k. How much does their do their heirs get? $413 plus or minus?
Minus.
Well, possibly. You know, minus with fees, but I'm talking, yeah, it'd be less. By the way, did you know with this product, this is something important for you to know. When these products first came out, there was the waiver of premium for disability, which simply meant in most policies that if you put that on the product, that if you became disabled, that the company would pay the mortality cost, meaning they would continue to pay the death benefit cost only of the product. So your life insurance would stay in force, but the cash wouldn't grow. You now know there's a feature in most of these that you can choose to put on at an additional cost. And the waiver, like in this case, the minimum's $413, the max is $1,720, so $20,000 a year. In most policies, and Dennis, you need to tell me on this one, up to what amount can they select their premium level for? They cannot.
Okay. Waiver of deduction.
Waiver of just a. I will say, and you know, just to be so you understand what's going on, there are some companies that you can choose to put. If you're putting $20,000 in, if you become disabled, it continues to put your entire $20,000 in. Not only your cost of insurance, but your investment as well. Pretty powerful. There's another thing, feature that you need to know, and this is where it's really cool about Old Mutual. They include it. You don't have to check a box. I confirmed that with Dennis this morning, and that is this feature. You know when I said you can't shift into reverse doing 150? This is one of those features called the Overloan Protection Rider. Because when people say to you, what's the catch? There isn't a catch, but there's a caution. I say it exactly that way in my book, so if they read it, they understand. The caution is this. this policy has to stay in force your entire life. If the policy lapses before you lapse, then all of those monies you've taken out as a tax-free loan, well, you're going to get a tax bill for them. Okay? Now, how is a policy going to lapse? Well, it's going to lapse one way if someone just cancels it. Why would they cancel it? I have no idea why. The other thing it's going to lapse is if they take out too much money. But just like any other product, if you take out too much money, you're going to run out of money. But here's what the overloan protection, so you don't have to be scared. Really, the only way for this policy to lapse with the overloan protection rider on it, which is standard on the old mutual policy, is if they disregard everything you've ever said and they just say, yeah, I understand I'm going to get a tax burden, but I'm canceling it anyway.